Okay, this next presentation is by Daryl Chasten from Mississippi State University. Here, on the program says Mississippi State, now it says University of Georgia.
Yeah,
but anyway, so he's going to talk about the use of plant water use as irrigation scheduling method.
Hi, I'm Daryl Chasten. I am at Mississippi State. Is it a clicker or just a laser? This research was done at University of Georgia. I did hope to show you some data from Mississippi. However, starting a new research program is problematic sometimes. Production's up in Mississippi. Costs are still low. I have 72 cents a pound for cotton prices right now. I think it's more like 68 as of this morning. So we need to control input costs whenever we can. One aspect of my research is to decrease cost by decreasing irrigation. So there's a lot of methods to do this. My method of choice is using Freedon leaf water potential. I know it's problematic, it's frustrating, but it does work. For our study, we took two cultivars and five treatments, one using our standard recommendations from the Georgia Research and Extension, or Georgia Extension Service. It's kind of a evapotranspiration-based approach that's been simplified to a calendar-based approach where each phenological stage gets a certain amount of water. So week one, you put out however much. We get really high yields using this method, but we were considering maybe we can end up saving a little bit. There are also three plant-based triggers and a dry land treatment. So no irrigation beyond stand establishment, about four leaf for you cotton guys. For the pre-non leaf water potential triggers, we use negative 0.5, negative 0.7, and negative 0.9 megapascals. You have to go out every morning, or Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, drive to your field site, measure every single plot. It's very frustrating, and I know it's impractical for production purposes, but it's great for research. In our study, we had 2 years. 2013 was a abnormally rainy year. We had several, let's hear on the right, we had several large rain events due to tropical storms that hit southern Georgia. And I'll show you the data later on. In 2014 here, with air temperature and precipitation, about a week before flowering, it stopped raining, and it never rained again, really, any appreciable amount. So we had a nice opportunity to actually set up nice, strong treatment differences. That drought carried on all the way through the sensitive stage in for cotton fiber production. Here's the drought map through the entire, a little GIF here, through the entire growing season. Our study is right here, down here in southern Georgia. So here's the data set. Each one of these data points represents 8 plots, measured Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, every morning from 4 to 6 in the morning for 2 years. Again, it's a horribly impractical method to schedule irrigation for a producer, but it sets up just beautiful treatment differences. So we researchers really, really like it, or I guess me, I really like it. Using our method, the meat and potatoes of the study, we decreased water use by 7 to 31% while maintaining high lint yields. Here's our checkbook approach here. This is our first irrigation, our water potential trigger, second water potential trigger, third water potential trigger, and dry land. So first year, no surprise, no real difference in yield. However, we saved about 7% water, as opposed to what we have done in the checkbook method just by not turning the pump on. This is all drip irrigated cotton, I forgot to mention that. In 2013, with our nice prolonged drought period, we had a much greater water savings. This is about a 9% water savings for the first irrigation treatment versus our Georgia recommendations, and it just sort of stair steps down so you can have that balance of controlling your costs and still maintaining a profitable yield, if there is a profitable yield anymore. Again, insanely time consuming and no one's going to use this, but we can use this method to calibrate other methods. A lot the approach for using sensors is sort of empirical. You'll put the sensors out in the field and set a threshold and see how the data falls out. Ours, the pre-dawn water potential is strongly related to yield, so we feel that we can use this to calibrate other sensors. In the same study, we also had smart crops in every single field, every single plot. So measuring continuous canopy temperature. In the southeast, or not Hillock in Arizona, but in the southeast, clouds go over pretty much at noon every single day. So if you're going to be scheduling off of canopy temperature during the midday, you're going to lose a lot of data points and you're probably going to miss an irrigation event, in my experience. There's also weird things in the southeast. It's very productive, and you could trigger irrigation events by things that you would not expect to trigger an irrigation event, like bees. So I'm not a huge fan of the method, but it does seem to work pretty well if you can calibrate it. The thresholds that we use right now are based on a lot of work done in Texas and Arizona, and these are thresholds of about 28 to 30 degrees centigrade. In the southeast, we have high or really low VPDs, and you're not going to see a whole lot of cotton canopies really below that threshold level. You tend to get like 32. And we can use our method to set up the treatments and actually determine what actual water stress the plant is under, rather than just the biotic threshold that Conaty and a bunch of other people have worked on. So for the 2013 data, the really, really wet year, we took that data, went back and went through the literature for a method we thought we could pull off, and we looked at Idzo's work in the, if that's how you pronounce it, in the late 70s, early 80s, and we used our data from 2013 to develop a well water threshold for use in calculation of crop water stress index. You have to filter all this data. I mentioned with the clouds and everything, you end up with a 28,000 line data set that you filter down to 5,000 lines. It's a lot of data loss, and filtered out to where your light intensity is greater than 600 watts per meter squared, because that seems to be a good value. It's in the literature. Regress canopy air temperature differential by VPD, and here's your well-watered baseline. A crop under any kind of water stress is going to fall somewhere in here. The difference between this point and the line, you can calculate your crop water stress index. Looking at back at the canopy temperature and the yields I just showed you, crop water stress separates out by treatment really, really well, which it should, because we scheduled on pre-dawn water potential and had good treatment separation. But crop water stress was highly related to yield. So we would make the argument that it is potentially usable in the southeast. Again, I had attempted to work a project in Mississippi this year where we'd be running an ET-based approach and a pre-dawn water potential-based approach and the recommendations they use in Mississippi to calculate soil moisture sensors, because I think that's where it's going to go. If we're going to be scheduling irrigation off of a sensor, it's probably going to go soil moisture. We had soil moisture sensors in the study I just presented to you. How many of y'all have worked with watermarks? Yeah, they have a hard time with them, and basically we had to throw the data out. But we're looking at Decagon MPS6s now, and maybe a few other sensors alongside of it, and hopefully we can develop a system similar to what we did with the crop water stress index, but set plant-based irrigation thresholds for these sensors. I think it might be a little more usable. The paper was just published in Crop Science. It's here on the top. Again, using this to set up your treatment differences, why I would make the case that this is a valuable method for us researchers is you can really get a lot of data out of it if you have a really nice treatment separation. We have an economic analysis talking about if a producer wanted to use this method. Yes, it is economical, I assure you. We had a good economist look at it. Using the canopy temperature data from this study, we might be better off predicting canopy temperature rather than measuring canopy temperature, just using the atmospheric data or weather data. Emily Crist here wrote this paper. I suggest you read it. It's beautiful. I'm a physiologist, so the work that I do is a little more gas exchange related and heat tolerance related. The paper on the bottom came out of the same study of the same field, and it looks at heat heat stress and drought tolerance in response to our irrigation treatments. I'd like to thank the University of Georgia, Georgia Cotton Commission, Cotton Incorporated, my Motley Crew lab I worked with up in my PhD, Lola Sexton, Dudley Cook, Tyler Beasley, Calvin Meeks, Janet Fitz, Kara Dixon, Will Vance, and of course the crew, BJ Washington and Ivy Greiner. With that, I'll take any questions, and I'll go back to the slide so you can write my papers down and look them up if you'd like to see them. In Georgia, not a lot in Georgia even, but we do drip irrigate other crops a lot. Most of, pretty much everything is pivot in Georgia. We chose drip. For one, I wanted to work with it as a graduate student. It seemed like a really nice, cool technology to save water, and that's how the whole thing started. But
somebody compares a drip
with a pivot. There's a paper out that came out of the lab that I worked in before I came there comparing drip and pivot in that area, and drip's more efficient, yeah, always, so, but that's the system we had, and I wanted to play with it.
So, would you use a different trigger for a different water retention for your different soils?
That's one of the things I was really interested in. You know, if you have less water holding capacity, that the tension on that band can get really high under hot, dry environments. And I think that water holding capacity and soil hydraulic inductance are going to be a big factor in this. We have all kinds of soils in Stoneville. I don't know if you're familiar with Stoneville, Mississippi, but it's delta soils. It's river deposited, so we have all sorts of soils to work with, and I had this great plan to set it out by soil type and try to set triggers for soil moisture sensors, and it just was an utter failure. But yes, answer to your question, yes, we probably would. The triggers that we used are based off of some data where we looked at midday net photosynthesis in response to pre-dawn water potential, and at 0.9, that's where you see midday photosynthesis tank. So, I mean, it might not shift that much, but yeah, I think it will a little.